Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
So this morning, I want to tell you a little about my grandmother. And actually, my grandmother passed away about 4 years ago, right after I moved here to Tanzania. And my grandmother collected something we called hobnail milk glass. So it was this opaque white with bumps around it, just this beautiful glassware that she would collect. She had vases. She had serving dishes. She had lampshades and many other items because people, not only would she collect it, but people would give them to her as gifts. And when she passed away 4 years ago, one of the things that she left me was her collection of hobnail. And it's something that I treasure. And I don't treasure it because it's worth anything. It's really not worth much at this time. But its sentimental value is everything to me. You know, I brought four pieces with me when I moved back to Dar es Salaam. And I thought about bringing one to display, but at the beginning of the year, I broke one. And then about 2 weeks ago, as I was preparing the sermon, I broke another one. And I thought, probably better not bring it for you guys to see. So you'll just have to trust me that it's beautiful, beautiful glassware. And have you ever inherited something yourself? Maybe you inherited some money. Maybe you inherited a house or even some property. Maybe you inherited a business. Or maybe you inherited something that feels more like a burden, a financial debt, or a family responsibility, or even a career expectation that comes with that. You know, John 1 verse 12 tells us that, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So we're part of God's heritage, God's history here. If you're a born-again believer, that means you are a child of God. I want everybody to say that with me today. I am a child of God. Let's say though. Sorry, I should have said repeat after me because that got really confusing, didn't it? Repeat after me. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. You know, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. For by God's power are you being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in that time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved in various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. As a child of God, church, you are entitled to an inheritance. Some of your inheritance you have already received, and some you'll be given upon your entrance into heaven. I actually have a t-shirt that I like to wear that says Daughter of the King with a capital K because it refers to God as my father and he is the king. And who here would like to be called the daughter or the son of a king? You know, we think of earthly kings, don't we? And we look at the life of a prince or a princess and we think, wow, that's so much luxury, no burdens. It sounds great. I mean, who wouldn't want that? And while there is often luxury in the life of a prince or a princess, their life is not their own. There are rules and regulations and expectations on them that we would never allow even our own parents to place upon us. You know, if a king wanted to create an alliance with an enemy, he would often marry his child off to that enemy so that they wouldn't be attacked in the future, creating that peaceful alliance. Sometimes kings can't afford to take into account the feelings that their children have. You know, this is the same for children of God. We have blessings in our inheritance, but we also have expectations that we receive becoming a child of God. Have you ever watched one of those TV shows where a very rich person has passed away and their family gathers for that reading of the last will and testament? And everyone they see there is just waiting to see what they're going to get. Are they going to get the biggest share of that inheritance? And there's always a little bit of competition going on. There's always a little bit of backbiting. And probably somebody leaves crying if it's a Hollywood TV show. And so today we're going to read kind of the last will and testament of Jesus. What he left us in his death. But the great thing is, because you are a child of God, God's inheritance for us is unlimited. You don't have to compete with each other to get the best portion of the inheritance. You will get the full portion of each inheritance because you are a child of God. Good. You know, usually when I write a sermon, I like to save the best part for last, but today I'm going to start with our best inheritance. We're going to go through a lot of scripture today, so you may not be able to keep up, but let me encourage you to write those scripture references down. Just because you hear me say it and you see it on the board doesn't mean you don't need to verify it in your Bible to make sure that what you're hearing is correct. So we're going to start with Galatians chapter 4, starting with verse number 1. It says, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. I love that in verse 6. This is the best that you can ever inherit. It says, because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. This gets reaffirmed in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. We inherited a relationship with the Holy Spirit and the blessings that he brings. Is that not the most amazing inheritance you can think of? That inheritance comes with some amazing blessings, and I want to share a few of those with you. The fruit of the Spirit is one of those amazing blessings. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, I want you to read these out loud with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You know, the Holy Spirit also gives us guidance. I like to refer to him as my Holy Spirit GPS sometimes. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So if you are a son or a daughter of God, you are led by the Spirit. And who here knows the Holy Spirit is a whole lot more reliable than Google Maps? You try to use Google Maps, sometimes you're like, was I supposed to turn there? There's no road there. I don't really know what's going on, but the Holy Spirit always gives the best guidance. The Holy Spirit also unifies. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 13 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Unity in the body of believers. Now, we born again believers don't always act unified, do we? We've seen that time and again, but that's because even though we have the Holy Spirit, we still have to yield to the Holy Spirit. We need to seek him. We need to yield what he tells us. We have this habit of following our personal preferences or our own feelings instead of what the Holy Spirit says. But when we do yield to the Holy Spirit, we can see a beautiful unity among the brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 10 shows us that the Holy Spirit reveals spiritual truths to us. Verse 7 says, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. We look at 1 John 3:1. It shows us another inheritance. We got so many amazing inheritance by being a child of God. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. You know, as children of God, he has given us his fatherly love. Earthly fathers will fail you sometimes. Some will fail you time and again. But our heavenly Father never fails, because he not only gives us love, he is love. And we also inherit our heavenly home. We see that in Colossians 1, 9 through 14. I'm going to warn you, 9 through 12 might be the longest run-on sentence I have ever seen in my life. This is verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that beautiful? He has delivered us, church, he's delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. It's going to be a beautiful home in heaven, isn't it? You know, and our list of inheritances don't end there. In Colossians 1, we see we inherit deliverance. In Mark 5, Jesus called a woman daughter, and then he healed her. In 1 John 5, we see that we inherit victory. We inherit blessings in abundance over and over and over again. But along with these blessings come the burdens of being a child of God. And burdens aren't necessarily a bad thing. They're just the expectations that are placed on us on how we're called to live and represent our Father. Philippians 2, verse 14 through 16 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Hold fast to the word of God, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So one of our burdens that we've received is a burden to not grumble and complain. And I could probably stop right there, right? Because we're all like, oh, that's a heavy one. I have to work on that one. It's not an easy burden, is it? I know my natural instinct when I'm frustrated with something, I might grumble under my breath. But that doesn't reflect God to the world. So it makes it a burden worth trying to fulfill. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. We thought no grumbling was hard, right? Be imitators of God. And God knows that we could never be perfectly holy like him. He does not have that expectation. But we're to imitate him the best that we can. And I love the next few verses. They tell us what that means. Verse 2 says, "And walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleepers, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of the reverence for Christ." And that's a lot, isn't it? It's a long list of things. So what I want to do is walk back through them with you. Verse number 2 says, walk in love. If you're not sure what love looks like, we see it spelled out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says to us, love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 3 says, no sexual immorality, impurity, or covetousness. And I found it interesting that covetousness was listed along with sexual immorality and impurity. But then I looked it up, and what it says, covetousness is more than just wanting something. The heart of covetousness is greed and excessive desire. And isn't that usually where sexual immorality and impurity begin in our hearts, doesn't it? Through covetousness. Verse 4 says, no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking. You know, this doesn't mean that you should refrain from just saying those things, but also from hearing those things as well. I know it's in direct conflict with most of what Hollywood wants to sell you to watch these days. Verse 8 and 9 says, walk as children of the light. And what does that look like? Well, we can go back to Galatians 5. You quoted it with me earlier with the fruits of the Spirit. Read those with me again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Verse 11 tells us, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness. In fact, it tells us that we should expose them. When you silently allow someone to walk in darkness or to lead someone else into darkness, you're allowing darkness to win. Church, if you see somebody and you know that their heart's not pure toward the person that they're talking to, you have the right to talk to somebody about that. Don't watch a young man or a young woman be led astray by somebody who's got the right words when you know their heart is not pure. Your responsibility to stand up and to say something. And please tell your pastor, because we don't always know. You know what I always say? People are always on their best behavior before their mama, their grandmama, and their pastor, right? They're going to show us what they think we want to see. So if you think we know, we don't always know. And you have the right to come and just tell us if you're worried about someone or something. Verse number 7 says, do not be foolish. Let's repeat that one. Can you repeat that with me? Do not be foolish. That's one we probably need to write on our wall somewhere at home. We probably could get it tattooed. That would probably be foolish, though, wouldn't it, to get it tattooed? Do not be foolish on your arm. But that's one over and over again. We just need to be reminded, do not be foolish. Verse 18 says, do not get drunk on wine. That one's pretty straightforward. I remember once somebody coming up to me, it wasn't here, it was back home, and they were bragging. I just was so amazed that they thought I would find this amazing. They were bragging that they had gone out the night before and had been so drunk that they only realized they'd gone to a second bar to drink because when they opened their wallet the next morning, they had an ATM slip from that bar. I just don't understand that. Can you imagine what other things they may have done and just don't remember? Do not get drunk on wine. Verse 19 says, address one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So next time, next Sunday, when Pastor Jimmy says, greet each other, I'm going to be waiting to hear those beautiful songs of greeting to each other. We could start a whole little choir right here in our seats, right? Verse 20 says, give thanks to God always for everything. Everyone say, always for everything. Always for everything. You know, God deserves our thanks always for everything. He has given us so much. Everything we have is a gift from him. And then it ends with verse 21 that says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I know the word submit tends to have a negative culture or negative feeling in this culture here around the world because of the abuse that gets done under the word of submission. But when submission is done in godly and holy ways, it is healthy for the family and it is healthy for the church. I know that was a lot to cover in our inheritance today, but I have one more that I want us to look at. Matthew 28, verse 10 says, then Jesus said to them, he's talking to the disciples, he says, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. He's talking about his brothers as his disciples, and that means they are children of God, just like we are children of God. And when he sees them, in verses 19 and 20, this is what he says to them, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That first simple word, go, were you here when we added that to our statement, the Ocean Church, connect, grow, serve, go? We added that in September. That word, that calling to go, is an important part of our inheritance from God. Go, share your Jesus story. Go walk beside your coworker who's seeking and help them find the answers they're looking for in the Word. Go boldly and pray for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to those around you who are ready to hear. Go be the salt and light that the world needs. Go invite someone to church or to your Connect group or even just to meet you for coffee and share with them simply the gospel, not out of condemnation, but out of love. Go to Uganda or go to the United States or go to Saudi Arabia or go to China and preach the name of Jesus and his saving grace to the lost. church, go boldly with the confidence in the knowledge that God is always with you on this journey. Go, church. We just need to go. You know, I opened the sermon with John 1, verse 12. It says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." If you are not already a child of God this morning, I want you to know you can't become a child of God by doing good things. You could never be good enough. You can't buy your way into becoming a child of God. You have only one simple thing that you can do. And that's because Jesus did all the hard work for us. Being the Son of God, who is without sin, he died on the cross for the payment for your sins. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." God made it simple because he wants you to be part of his family and to become a child of God and receive the full inheritance that he has for you. Church, I'm going to ask everyone here to close their eyes right now. If today is the day that you want to make that decision to confess Jesus as your Lord, I want to pray with you. I don't want a day to go by. So while all eyes are closed, I'm going to ask for you to raise your hand so that I can pray with you today. Is there anyone here who wants to say, "Today, I want to be a child of God"? Church, let's all pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Today, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I become your child. Help me to understand you more as I read your word and I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, let's give it up for those who raised their hand today. Thanks, Jesus. Amen. If you raised your hand today, we're going to ask that you stop by the harbor on your way out. We have something we want to give you. So on your way out, just stop. The harbor is right there by the door. And just let them know that you raised your hand today and they will have a gift for you today. So I just want to close with a quick prayer for everybody else here this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for not just allowing us to be, but for wanting us to be your children. Help us embrace the whole of our inheritance, the blessings and the burdens, and give all glory to you. Amen. Amen. On the count of three, everybody, let's just say one more time, "I'm a child of God." One, two, three. I am a child of God. Thank you, church.